Thank you, Kim, for singing that song. Before we begin with our Bible study this evening, I do want to say thank you to the donors who provided this new pulpit here in the sanctuary. I love the airiness of it, and we've also, another family has bought and we'll be donating a new Lord's Supper table that we will be getting in the next few weeks. And I want to say to both of those families, thank you from the bottom of my heart. It just kind of is an upgrade here in our sanctuary. And I like, I've had many comments about all the greenery being gone up here on the platform and how much better the platform looks without that, and that it's such an upgrade and to the sanctuary, such a clean look. And so with the new lighting, and Brent's been working on getting some of the monitors out of the way up here. And so I do want to say thank you for all that's been done during these past days. Right now, I want you to just look at this video clip that we're going to play, and then I want to speak to you tonight from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. We'll watch this short video clip. Have seen it. It's an interesting movie. It's more entertaining. But let me say, first and foremost, what it deals with is this little boy, and he supposedly has this sixth sense, and he's dealing with the secret in his life. And Bruce Willis there, one of the actors, becomes this child psychologist, and Bruce Willis in the movie is actually dead. But he doesn't know that he's dead, and he's trying to help this little kid with this issue that's going on in his mind psychologically. So there in that scene, you may not have been able to see all of it, but the little boy looks at Bruce Willis and he says, "I want to reveal to you my secret." And Bruce Willis says to him, "Okay, what is it?" And the little boy says, "I see dead people." Now tonight, let me be very honest, very frank, and very direct. Number one, I do not believe in ghosts. Number two, I think the Bible is very express that whenever we die, we either go to one of two places. We either go into the presence of Jesus, into the intermediate state of heaven, or we go to what is the opposite of heaven, and that is hell. And so I use that illustration tonight, that video clip, just to introduce what tonight's Bible study is all about. This is a three-part series from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 3. We'll see part 2 on Sunday evening as we look at this. And then the following Wednesday evening, a week from tonight, we'll look at part 3 of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. But I want to entitle this, "The Spiritually Dead." As I look around me, as I look out into a world, I see millions of faces. I see millions of people. They are in their physical bodies. But they don't know that they are spiritually dead. Those that have never come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so tonight, there are millions of people out there. The songwriter said the whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, his glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. No darkness have we who in Jesus abide. The light of the world is Jesus. We walk in the light when we follow our guide. The light of the world is Jesus. Verse 3 says, "You dwellers in darkness with sin, blinded eyes. The light of the world is Jesus. Go wash at his bidding, and light will arise. The light of the world is Jesus." The last stanza says, "No need of the sunlight in heaven, we're told. The light of the world is Jesus. The Lamb is the light in the city of gold. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus." A few moments ago, Kim sang so beautifully that song about "His grace still amazes me." And for those who have received the grace of Almighty God, to you tonight, I know you will be able to identify with those that are out there in this world that are physically living, but they are existing physically only, for they are spiritually dead. I mean, they are born, they live, they work, they marry, they reproduce, they find pleasure, they love, they fight, they give, they receive, they go on vacations, they go to work each day, some are retired, they even sit in churches, and they often live rich, full lives, yet, according to the scripture, they are spiritually dead. So tonight, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, Paul says, "And you," he's speaking to the Ephesians, he's speaking to you and to me as well, "and you he made alive." Now in the King James it says, "he hath quickened." He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." Now in this passage for this evening, here in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, the Apostle Paul gives some details of the desperate condition of those people that are lost out there in the world, those who are spiritually dead. And in this passage, he reminds every redeemed child of God who's been born again of what their lives were like before God saved them by that wonderful grace that Kim sang about a few moments ago. Now in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul reminded us that we are rich in Christ Jesus. He told us how each of us came to God. We were saved by his grace. We were adopted into his family. And Paul reminds us that the salvation we enjoy is completely of the Lord. Now, what these verses tonight teach us is what we were like before we met Jesus Christ. It also declares to us the hopeless and the helpless condition of those out there in the world who do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. They are walking around physically in their bodies, but they are spiritually dead. And these verses expose the devastating results of sin's intrusion into the human race. So tonight, as we look at some of the characteristics that are common to those that are trapped out there in life in the bondage of sin, you see, to the lost person, to the person out there tonight that's walking around physically in their bodies, but they are spiritually dead, to that person, to those people, this passage is designed to teach you the truth about sin and its consequences. To those who are saved, this message tonight is designed to remind you and me of where we once were when we found Jesus and how he saved us and how he transformed us by his awesome power. First of all, I want us to look. Lost people are spiritually dead. Not physically dead, but they are spiritually dead. It says in verse 1, and you, speaking of those that have found Christ, he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Notice who were dead. That's in the past tense. And so Paul is writing. He writes to the Ephesian Christians to remind them of the exalted place that they now have in Jesus Christ. He reminds them of their past sins. And he tells them that they were once dead in their sins. But now in Jesus Christ, they have been made alive. And so as Paul writes, this is a message to the human race. Notice first of all about these dead that are spiritually dead. Physically living, but spiritually dead. Notice their condition. Before they met Christ, here in verse 1, Paul tells the Ephesian Christians that they were dead. They were once dead in trespasses and sin. That means they were devoid of all spiritual life. They were spiritually dead. They were physically living in their bodies, and they were going around doing all of the various things in life that they had always done, but spiritually they are dead. They're lost. They're incapable of coming to God by their own initiative. And when a person dies, that person's unable to respond to any impulse or any stimuli. Neither are they able to perform any function whatsoever. They lack the power and the ability, because when a person dies, that person's body is reduced to an empty, inanimate object that possesses no ability whatsoever to hear, see, think, or respond to any stimuli. When a physical body dies, it loses the ability to respond to this physical world. Now, Paul says the lost are dead. They're not dead to the world, but they are dead in the spiritual sense. They cannot see God. They cannot feel God. They cannot know God. They cannot sense God. They cannot get to God on their own initiative. They are devoid of all spiritual life. Now, many people believe that the lost person has the ability to approach God whenever they want to on their own terms. They just think that you can come and get saved anytime that you want to. But it is God who makes that first move in salvation. The lost need to be quickened or to be made alive. And that is entirely the work of God. Here in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says that the lost, there in verse 1, are dead. Notice in trespasses and sins. He means literally that the lost are dead because of these trespasses and sins. And so sin is the root cause of spiritual deadness. You see, the lost will stay in that state of spiritual deadness until God comes to them and raises them from this spiritual deadness. And there are many in the world tonight that are walking around physically in their bodies, but they have no interest of God whatsoever at all. And they are physically alive, but they are spiritually dead. In fact, in the book of John chapter 3, verse 3 and 7, where Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, and Jesus answered and said to Nicodemus, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And then in verse 7, he says, "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Let me tell you, Paul speaks about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 when he speaks about once you get saved, you're a new creation, you're a new creature. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Let me tell you, once you receive Jesus, you want to live differently. You want to be differently. You want to look differently in the appearance of what was once you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Now, as a new creature in Christ Jesus, you see the saved, those that are redeemed, those that are born again, those individuals, thanks God for his word, for his church, for his people, for worship, for his presence, or spiritual music, whatever has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ thrills the heart of the person who knows and has trusted Christ as Savior. Oh, how the world tonight needs a breath of life breathed into their spiritually dead lives. We see not only in the lost sinner, we see their condition, but we also see their circumstances. Paul now speaks of the realm in which they live and in which they operate. They may be dead spiritually, but they are alive in their bodies physically. Notice what Paul says. He uses in verse 1 the phrase, dead in trespasses and sins. Dead in trespasses and sins. Now that word trespass there means to cross a boundary. It refers to a lapse of deviation from truth and righteousness. It's the idea of a slip or a fall and a stumble, of going in the wrong direction. So in verse 1, when he says, and you, speaking of these Ephesian Christians that were once spiritually dead, and you he made alive, who were dead. They had crossed the boundary. They had lapsed into a deviation from truth and righteousness. They had slipped. They had fallen. They had stumbled. They were going in the wrong direction. So it's an attitude that stands in opposition to the things of God. Now, a trespass occurs when a person crosses a clear boundary that God has said, don't cross. God draws a line in the sand. He says that mankind is not to go beyond that point. In fact, Adam and Eve, we could go back to the Garden of Eden. God drew a line in the sand whenever he told them, the whole garden is yours. Enjoy it. Take dominion over it. But there's one tree out there that I don't want you to eat of. And you see, they trespassed God's command. They crossed that boundary line. They slipped. They failed. They stumbled. They went in the wrong direction. And let me tell you, when the sinner steps across that boundary line, we are guilty of trespasses. They cross God's boundary line and they are in sin. And every sinful act is a trespass against God's word, against God's holiness, and against God's person and glory. And then notice in verse 1 there, the word sins. Well, Paul said to the Ephesians, there was a point in time in their life that they were lost. Now they've been made alive. How were they made alive? Because God moved upon their life through the Holy Spirit and brought them to him. And Paul reminds them that they were dead, spiritually dead, in trespasses and sins. That word sin means to miss the mark. In fact, it was a hunting term. It pictures a hunter out there taking aim at his prey or losing his arrow and completely missing the target. It was a word that came to be used of falling short of any goal or standard or purpose. And when you apply that to the sinner, it pictures the sinner falling short of and completely missing God's perfect standards of holiness and righteousness. And when Paul here in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1, he uses those two words, trespasses and sins. He's referring to that realm of life where they're unable to come to God. And so when we could not come to him, as the song says, he came to me. He came to me. You see, the lost are dead to the things of God. And they have no desire to turn to him for salvation. And that's why Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 6, verse 44 and verse 65, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Do you get that? No one can come to me. Jesus says, no one can come to me unless the Father, that's God, who sent me, that's Jesus, draws him. That's the lost person. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And then notice what Jesus said, and I will raise him up at the last day. Skipping on down to John chapter 6 verse 65. And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. Now, we've already spoken in chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians how that we are chosen before the foundation of the world. And even though you and I will not ever be able to plumb the depths of chosen and election and predestination, suffice it to say, where all of those meet up with human responsibility, that you and I have a human responsibility because there are those that humanly reject the Savior. But we know that according to John chapter 6, verse 44 and verse 65, that nobody can come to Jesus Christ unless God draws them there. In other words, you and I cannot reach God on our own human efforts. So salvation comes through God's grace alone. I appreciate Kim singing that song tonight. He couldn't have picked a better song to go along with this passage of Scripture, because his grace, God's wonderful gift to you and to me, God's grace, G, God, R, riches, A, at, C, Christ, E, expense. If you take that word grace and make an acrostic, what is God's grace? It's God's riches at Christ's expense, given to me freely when I'm drawn to him and I reach out with my human responsibility and I hang on to that and I receive it and I accept it. And Paul is reminding these early Christians during the days of persecution that's going on, their newfound joy, he wants them to be reminded that they were once lost in their trespasses and their sins. They had missed the mark. They had crossed the boundary line. And they had been made alive. They had been quickened. They had been made alive in Christ Jesus. He wanted to remind them, you were once spiritually dead. When I look around in the world that you and I live in tonight, and I realize that since the time of Adam, some scholars have guesstimated that there have been some 100 billion people born since the beginning of time. You and I, in the present world that we live in tonight, there are some 7.56 billion people living tonight. Now, out of those, some 2.5+ billion profess to be Christians. That would leave about 2/3 of the world that would not profess Christianity. You see, when I look at this tonight and I think about salvation, I think about a lost world. When I look around at a lost world and I think what the world is missing tonight, they are blinded. They're blinded by Satan because the Bible says that he's a deceiver. He's a murderer from the beginning. Let me tell you, Satan and his fallen angels that fell with him, his demons out there in the world that are deceiving people. Let me tell you, grace, God's riches that Christ expends, is the only hope for the world that you and I live in tonight. It's the only hope for this entire world that is in a pretty hopeless, helpless state of existence. Jesus came that we may have life and that we might have it more abundantly. But unfortunately, the human responsibility is that many in this world will reject this wonderful gift of grace. I don't know if you oftentimes think about God's grace. Had it not been for the grace of Almighty God, there go I, there go you. The songwriter put it so well by saying, "Oh, to grace, how great a debtor. Daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy grace, Lord, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. Seal it for thy court above." When the songwriter penned the wonderful doctrinal value of that song, he was speaking about, "Seal it for thy courts above, the sealing of the Holy Spirit." You and I are sealed till the day of redemption through the Holy Spirit of the living God. How wonderful tonight to know that you know, that you know, that you know, that you've truly reached out by faith and received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Now, you can ask yourself a question tonight. What is it that would distinguish me from someone who's never trusted Christ as their personal Lord and Savior? Let me tell you what will distinguish you. What will determine, am I genuinely saved? Let me ask you, are you bearing fruit? Are you a fruit bearer for Jesus? There's a lot of ways that you can bear fruit. You can bear fruit in your Christian walk, in your Christian witness, your Christian testimony, your love for the brethren. You're giving to the Lord's work, using your gifts, using your talents, using your ties to reach lost people throughout the world, through all the missional endeavors that we have, not only through this church, but through our Southern Baptist Convention all over the world. Let me tell you, there's so many ways that you and I can be a blessing to humanity. In reaching out and helping others, let your light shine in this world of darkness tonight. As we continue this Bible study this coming Sunday evening, we'll look at part two of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, about those that are spiritually alive in Christ and those that are spiritually dead. My prayer is this. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you've never been quickened and made alive by reaching out and receiving Jesus, pray this simple prayer tonight. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know I've missed the mark. I know I've crossed your boundaries. And I know that you came and you died on the cross and you shed your blood to cover my sin. And I realize tonight I'm a sinner. And I need the Savior. So forgive me, Lord Jesus, of my sins. And come into my heart and life and be the living, risen Christ all the days of my life. Oh God, I pray that somebody out there somewhere will pray that prayer this evening. I pray, oh Holy Spirit of the living God, move and fall fresh and anew upon those who are walking around in their physical bodies, but yet are spiritually dead. God, I pray for those of us that are spiritually alive in Christ, oh God, that we will be growing and maturing and bearing much fruit for the kingdom of heaven. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this church. Thank you for your blessings upon this church and upon your good people. And God, I pray that you would help us to be reminded of the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ here from the book of Ephesians. We thank you. We praise you. We love you. Thank you tonight for Father speaking through your word to each one of us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.